Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.
Welcome back to the Ghost Bunny Podcast. I'm your host, Bridget Marquardt, with a brand new episode for you guys. My guests this week are Jasmine and Victor from the paranormal YouTube channel, Barrier Beyond. Victor and Jasmine have been investigating the paranormal for over 5 years. They formed Barrier Beyond and started traveling the states to some of the most haunted places on Earth. And one of those places is the Poltergeist House in Simi Valley, California, which is where I met them, and we had one crazy night investigating together, and I have been wanting to share the story with you guys, and so I'm so happy to have them on today to discuss it. Jasmine and Victor, thank you so much for doing the show today.
Hi, thank you for having us.
Yes. So I was super excited to have you guys on because I wanted to talk all about the Poltergeist House. I'm like, they were there. We experienced this crazy stuff together. I need somebody to like talk to about all of this and like go through it all again because it was just so much interesting stuff that happened. But before we even get into that, I wanted to say that I started watching your guys' documentary last night. And the only reason I didn't finish it is because it had nothing to do with your documentary. It's because I just got back from Italy like 5 days ago and I'm still like on another time zone. Yeah. And so I was watching it and I was like, I knew I was starting it kind of late for how I was feeling, but I have 20 minutes to go. That's it. I didn't want to turn it off, but I was like, it's so good. And I'm going to get into all of that and talk about it too. And I want to know like more details and like all of that stuff. But let's talk about the Poltergeist House. First of all, when SoCal Spirit Seekers invited me to go there, I was sort of thinking, well, I should even back it up a little bit further. When I had Intuitive Tawny on my podcast and she was telling me about the Poltergeist House and things she had experienced there and shooting an episode of Ghost Adventures there and everything, I was kind of very skeptical because I was thinking to myself, this house is just a movie set. Like, I mean, it wasn't a movie set, but like they just picked it to film to like be like this suburban house, you know? There's, right. In my mind, I'm thinking there's nothing haunted about this house. And I have since seen other people say that on my comments too when I talk about the Poltergeist House. They're like, come on, it's a movie thing. You guys are all buying this movie jargon, which is what I was thinking too when I first heard it. And then when Tawny came on and she was saying, well, it isn't so much about the movie. It was it's more about people have died, passed away in the house since then. So what she was experienced was more about like some of the more recent people who have passed away. And then it was also sort of about, at least when she was filming with Ghost Adventures, it was sort of about more the curse of Poltergeist and what has happened to so many of the characters in the house tragically in real life. And so I was like, okay, I can buy into that then and everything. And then when SoCal Spirit Seekers invited me, I was like, you know, I'm going to go for curiosity's sake because I would just want, it's cool to just say you've been there, if nothing else, like fun pictures, a fun story. But I wasn't expecting much of anything. And so I actually went twice. I don't know if you guys know, but I was there the night before. And so the first night they were there and it was SoCal Spirit Seekers and AJ Barrera, who's a psychic medium, and myself. And it was very chill, but there was obviously something going on. Like we heard footsteps upstairs and the light in the kitchen. And I'm still not sure if this is like a glitch in like the electricity or however that works, but the light in the kitchen was like doing weird stuff. And I would write that off as just old lighting fixture, no problem, except it did seem to sort of be responding to questions that we asked in some way. So I don't know. I was like, okay, well, maybe, I don't know, you know. And then, but something intrigued me enough, even though we didn't have anything crazy happen that night and it was just all very chill, something intrigued me enough to be like, I'm going to go back the second night too. And so I went, which I normally wouldn't feel like I needed to do, but there was something that I felt like there is something here. I don't know what it is, but there is something here. So I go back the second night, and then that's when I get to meet you guys. And also Joey, his YouTube is Joey Official, I think.
Joey Official, yeah.
Joey Official, yeah. Was there as well. And immediately, like I just started setting things up right away. And immediately, the flux went off and was like answering. It seemed like it answered a question that I asked like almost immediately. Like I was like, yeah, so I set it up. And so for you guys that don't know, a flux is like this little rectangle. And on one side, it's red, one side, it lights green. And you can use it to see if something is close to it and on which side. But then you can also use it for answering yes and no questions. So like green is typically yes and red is typically no. Or you could ask them to do it however way you want it. But that's the way I usually do it. And I said, and I wasn't even looking at the flux. I was just set up. And I said to the group, should we start upstairs or downstairs? And as soon as I said upstairs, it like, or I don't even think I gave the question. I said, should we start upstairs? And it just went to green immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we all saw that. We were all like, oh my God. So I guess we should start upstairs. So we go upstairs and things kind of were happening already, like footsteps. There was a motion activated light that went off, even though there was nobody. We were all like huddled in the bedroom and the motion activated light went off in the hallway. What else do you guys remember happening in the bedroom up there?
Wait, didn't we hear, you heard the footsteps coming up?
Yeah, when we were inside the room, there was like a little sensor light by the stairs and it went off.
Yeah.
And nobody was obviously there. So that's when I heard the footsteps coming. I'm like, dude, do you guys hear like do those turn on like by themselves? Or like, I don't know what those were, but it was creepy because you can hear the footsteps coming up.
You can definitely hear the footsteps in that house. It's crazy. So just to give you guys kind of a layout, there's obviously upstairs and downstairs, and we were in the kids' room, which is above the dining room. And all of us were in that room. We were all just kind of huddled in there, like doing, we had the spirit box going and things like that. And these motion activated lights are kind of like, they're like a temporary light, like kind of like a like those press lights kind of, but they're motion activated. So they are sitting on the steps just for people's safety. And yeah, it went off and then we heard the footsteps. And then it also kept saying something about the closet on the spirit box?
Oh, yes, yes. But I think we got that when we were downstairs, right? Or was it upstairs?
I think it's when we were downstairs doing the poultry comp. Box.
Yes.
Yeah.
We were doing the box and then it kept wanting us to go upstairs. And then I think when we took a little break, but I was still recording, that's when you asked, or I think you asked something else and then it wanted us to go upstairs.
Yeah. Yeah. And it kept saying
the closet.
Yeah. Which I was sitting right in front of. So I opened the closet and obviously there was nothing there, but it just kept pointing towards that throughout the night. I feel like it said it on multiple occasions. And then we came back downstairs and we were using, we were using different equipment throughout the night and we tried out the goggles, the spirit goggles. And so I don't know if anybody listening will know what those are. Can you describe those?
So the goggles are essentially, it's kind of, I guess how I can describe it as the virtual reality goggles, but obviously it's an app and you hook up the app and you put your phone in front of the goggles. So it gives you the virtual reality feel and images get manipulated and shown, depending on, like, if you ask the spirit, oh, show us what you look like, or, you know, what did you look like, or where are we? And images will start to pop up. And
it's crazy.
That night you got some really weird images.
Yeah. I got really weird ones. Like it was an alien bride.
Like a bride. Yeah.
Yeah. It was very, I have a photo of it too, that I can add in here, but it was really weird and didn't feel like it had anything to do with what was going on in that house. But I have to tell myself, walk it back a minute, because we don't really know what causes these things or what we're experiencing. I always like to believe that we are talking to people who have passed away, whether it's our family or people who lived in that house or were affiliated with the house in some way, but we really don't know what we're talking to. So I can't, even though aliens like scare me and I'm not like super into the UFO talk and everything like that, like I feel like I can't rule it out that that image isn't something that is trying to communicate with us.
Right, right.
Yeah, when I was upstairs by myself too, I had got alien on the spirit box. We didn't add it to the episode.
Oh.
But it was just crazy how you got that image and I got the word alien.
Yeah. Yeah. And to be fair too, the goggles are a brand new piece of technology. And I am all about trying anything new, because I feel like you don't know what can work or what will be successful or what will give us like another piece to the puzzle or whatever, unless you try it. I'm very skeptical on the goggles because it is an app and because, you know, you don't know how it could even manipulate that. That being said, I still like to try all these new things and like, but I always take it with like a more than a grain of salt, like a whole salt shaker over my my shoulder. But I think it's important to try all kinds of things because we don't know. Mm-hmm. And we won't know unless we keep trying different things. So I feel like it's important to try all that kind of stuff. Okay. So then we're sitting there and we decide we're going to do, wait, did the front porch light thing happen before we did Estes? It did, right?
Oh, it did. It happened before. Yeah.
Okay. So we're all sitting in the living room. And by the way, the whole time we're sitting down in the living room, we can hear footsteps and stuff upstairs. Like there is people walking around up there, even though we're all downstairs. And so we're sitting there and I wish I could remember exactly how this went down. But like, I think that Christine was maybe doing the goggles when it happened. And Joey
noticed, right?
Yeah, because he was sitting behind me, which is like kind of the front entrance, the doorway right there. And he goes, whoa, all of a sudden it got dark outside. Did the lights go off? And so we all like are investigating it. And I looked at my phone and I was like, oh, it's 11 o'clock on the dot. So it's probably just on a timer and it's set to go off at 11 p.m. And they're like, no, there was a big note from the owner of the house saying, don't turn off the front porch lights, that they should be on like throughout the whole night for security reasons, because a lot of people know the house and, you know, just for security reasons. So they want them on 24/7. So it's not on a timer that goes off at a specific time, but they full on went off. And then we went back and reviewed the footage and it's sure they totally just shut off on their own.
Yes. Yes. And it's a wall light that you have to click on and off.
Yeah. Yeah.
And nobody was standing there, sitting, like nobody touched it. That was
kind of cool. So then we decide we're going to do the Estes method. And actually we did it in a way that I have never done it before, where we had two people doing it at the same time. So Christine went upstairs and in the kids' room and laid on the bed, blindfolded and the earphones on with the spirit box. And then you were in the dining room.
Yes.
Blindfolded, the earphones on and spirit box going. And then the rest of us went into, I always forget what that other room is called, like the den or whatever.
Yeah. Like a den.
Yeah. So it's kind of like on the opposite side of the house of everybody else as far as we could get away. And And for those that don't know, the Estes method is when you kind of deprive yourself of the senses. So you can't see and you can't hear anything except for you have noise canceling headphones on. So you can't hear what's happening in the room or what questions people are asking, but you just hear the spirit box playing in your ears. And it helps if the lights are out. And so just so that there's no distractions or anything. And then you wait to hear any kind of words that you might be able to pick up or phrases or anything like that. And then you just shout them out loud enough to where the people who are in the other room can hear what you're saying. Or if you're filming it, you could always go back and review later, but it helps if the other people can hear it. And so we're in the other room and we're asking questions to the spirits that they can't hear. And it started getting really interesting right away. They were saying stuff like, I'm upstairs. And we were like, who are you? And it came out that it was a little girl. And we were like, what is your name? And then she said, Carol. And then we said, is your name, your name's Carol? And then she said, no, it wasn't.
Mind blowing.
But then she kept saying Carol. And we're like, is your name Carol? No. And I'm like, that's so weird. And then we're like, Carol Ann from the movie? Like, that just seems like all of us were looking at each other like, that's too weird. Like, no way. But then at the same time, like, that's what she's telling us. Her name is Carol, but it's not Carol. And she's a little girl and that she wants to play hide and seek and that she was in the closet earlier. And you guys, all of this is coming between Christine and Jasmine yelling this stuff out and they don't even know what we're asking.
Nothing, because we are literally in each corner of the house.
Yeah.
She's up, I'm down, you guys are way at the other end. So it's like, how?
And even in the video, when I was editing it, it was so loud that you know they couldn't hear anything. So what we were asking, there was no way they can hear any of that.
Yeah.
And it was direct too. Like when we would ask something, they would right away respond to our questions.
Yeah. And
it's crazy.
Like I remember saying too, like something like, do you want to come down here with us or something like that? And it was like, no, I'm okay. I'm good. Or something like that. I'm up. And we're like, well, where are you? I'm upstairs. And we could hear footsteps overhead.
Footsteps upstairs.
And then it says, and then I think I said, well, can you come down and hang out with us? And then it said, I'm coming.
Yeah.
That's wild. And she's laying down the whole time.
Yeah. So, yeah. Okay. So, yeah. Christine is upstairs and she's laying down the whole time. And she said that at one point she felt like something sat down on the bed next to her.
Right.
Yeah. But for us, we were freaking out because we were just getting such direct answers. And trust me, you guys, I would have never in a million years been like, oh, I'm going to go there and try and contact Heather O'Rourke. Because if you guys don't know where this is going, it appears that we were possibly connecting with Heather O'Rourke, who was the little girl, the little blonde girl in the movie who played the part of Carol Ann, who passed away at the age of 12 from like a colon issue or something like that, like some sort of stomach issue. And it was sudden and it was unexpected. And if you're wondering, like, why would she be haunting that house, though? I honestly think that she is only there because it was good memories for her. She spent a lot of time filming in that house. It was positive memories. And it's been refurbished to kind of look like it did in the movie with like the same TV and the toys and like all the things. And so she might just feel drawn to that. And if there's people who are open to communicating, maybe she thinks that that's an interesting way to communicate. And I don't think she's stuck there. I think she can probably go other places too. And I'm not saying she haunts it in like a bad way. I think she was just there with us that evening. And I was a little bit perplexed though. Like why would she? And in my mind, I'm like, well, it was probably just a place she spent a lot of time. It was happy memories for her. She was probably excited. I know I would have been if I were filming that. But then while I was researching your guys' episode, I made a discovery that you guys, the day before or something, went to her grave.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we did.
So Okay, tell me about that. Tell me where is that? Why did you go? What did you feel anything? Did you say anything to her? What? Tell me all about that.
It's in Westwood, kind of close to the UCLA or the Mann's Bruin Theater. And we just thought since we were going to go to the house, we're like, let's just go get a little more personal and go to their graves. And we also checked out Dominique Dunn's grave, which was a sister that played in the movie. And it was just a very sad, depressing feeling just because of how they went.
Yeah.
You know, Dominique was strangled by her ex-boyfriend.
Yes.
And then Heather being so little and, you know, full of life and had a lot to go. And yeah, it was just very, very depressing being there. Very sad.
Yeah. Did you guys say anything when you were there, like that you were going to visit the house or that you were?
I did. Yeah. Usually when we go to locations where we know, like, okay, we can access, you know, their grave sites or let's just go and visit. And we always go with respect. And yeah, we tell them, oh, we're going to go to, you know, the movie set that you were on, you know, just things like that. We're always very respectful when we go to celebrity grave sites.
So this like made it all like fall into place for me, because like I said, the first night I did not get anything about like anything to do with poltergeist or anything like that. There was definitely something going on, but it just seemed very, very chill and nothing to do with the movie at all. But then the second night it was just like, boom, it was so much about her and so right on with the responses and everything. And I really feel like it had to do with you guys going and visiting the grave. And that's what maybe she was like, oh, the house? Like maybe she like,
yes.
She came to see you guys there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel the same way, because like you said, you didn't really get too much the first night, but I feel like we kind of amped up, you know, her being excited for us being on her movie set. And like you said earlier, when people pass away, and I believe this too, and so does Victor, when people pass away, they like to go to the place they were happiest the most.
Uh-huh.
And they don't necessarily have to be haunting the location, but she did grow up there, and yeah, I feel
happy
like
memories.
She came and visited us and let us know.
I think so too. And I know people who don't know the full story and are just seeing like, oh, they went to the poltergeist house and they talked to Heather O'Rourke. Like, that's just weird. I totally get it. Like, I feel like I would never have thought that it would be haunted by anybody from the actual movie or anything like that, or that the house is haunted. I don't even think that it necessarily is haunted by them at all the time. I think that you guys visiting the grave beforehand specifically brought her energy to it. Mm-hmm. And if somebody else goes there, they may or may not experience anything like that or the same, or having her there. But it really, truly felt like we were talking to her. And she spoke like a young girl, not necessarily like a child, but like a young girl. Like, she kind of wanted to play. She wanted to do hide and seek. She's hiding in the closet, which sounds spooky, but I feel like if you were talking to an actual kid, it's not spooky, you know?
I think Jasmine was even giggling at one point during the Estes method. And we were like, dude, that sounds like a little kid, you know, like laughing.
That's right. There was a response.
Yeah.
Yeah. Usually, when I go under Estes, I like to say and do everything that I hear, whether it's whispering, giggling, screaming, any tone that I hear, I'm going to, you know, blurt it out. So, yeah, like, it does sound creepy after,
yeah, it was
like,
creepy.
When I watch the video, when I giggle at certain things, or sometimes I've whispered and it's just, yeah, I just like to show every emotion that I'm getting from the Estes method.
So I feel like I'm not that great at Estes. Like, I shouldn't say that, because I don't do it, because I always say, oh, I'm not good at it. But I feel like even not just the Estes, let's just say like Spirit Box or whatever, I feel like I have trouble picking things out of that. Like, I don't hear it. And people will be like, oh, did you hear that? They said this. They said this. And I'm like, they did? I didn't hear it. Do you have any tips on, like, how people can kind of tune in better or, like, catch things better?
Well, since I do Estes method, Victor doesn't really do it at all. Or
I hardly ever get anything. I don't know why. I don't think I have luck with it.
Yeah.
But whenever Jasmine does it, it's just so direct and crazy responsive.
So when I go under, I kind of, this might sound really weird or crazy to people, but I can like turn off certain things in my brain. Like I can turn off, it sounds weird, but I just turn off something in my brain and I just listen. I try to listen to whoever wants to communicate. And when I hear it, I just say it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's a special form of concentration, like, and maybe even concentration and meditation kind of combined.
Yes. Cause I do meditate a lot, and I can meditate and tune out any sounds like around me. It's just practice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
What were your guys' preconceived notions about the Poltergeist house? Were you guys like skeptical at first? Like, why would that be haunted? Were you just excited to go? Or did you think that there was going to be something there?
I was just very excited because I love horror movies.
Same.
So just the fact that I was going to the Poltergeist house, I was just nerding out in there.
Yeah.
But we didn't really expect to communicate with anybody, like you said, from the movie. So we were going more with like the people who passed away there, the Native Americans, land who was there before. But once we started getting Heather coming through, I mean, I was still kind of like, I don't really want to go with that because I don't want people to start thinking that we're creating this or trying to make it seem like she's there.
Yeah.
But the fact that she kept coming through and coming through, I'm like, we can't ignore this. Like, she's trying to talk to us. And, you know, this was, it was mind blowing. I think it was one of the craziest Estes method I've ever experienced.
Oh, for sure. It's the craziest Estes I've ever seen. And what's cool about it is there were two of you. It wasn't even just one of you doing it. There was two sources.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree with Victor. What, he nerded out more than I did. I love the Poltergeist movie, but I didn't expect to be in contact with Heather. I was also more inclined towards Native American land, you know, tribes talking to us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it does, it's like a catch 22. It's like, you don't want to like sit there and be like, oh, we spoke to Carol Ann. Heather O'Rourke, because you know people are going to be like, oh, give me a break, that's like, of course you did or whatever. But then at the same time, like you said, it was so much and it was so direct and so cool that we can't like not tell the story now.
Yeah,
it's so fascinating. Okay, so let's see here. Do I get all the things that we went upstairs, the closet, the front porch light, got all those? Okay. Okay, what got you guys into the paranormal to begin with? Like, I always tell people I was born spooky. What about you guys? Did you have a specific incident?
Well, Jasmine was always a skeptic. She didn't believe in ghosts or any of that. And I grew up into all that. And my dad passed away when I was a little kid. So that got me wondering, like, where do we go when we pass away? So as I got older, I started kind of investigating going to places. And then Jasmine started coming around again. So I was like, hey, like, I'm going to go to this abandoned hospital close by if you want to go check it out. And I took her, and the rest is history. Made her a believer.
Yeah. Yeah. So okay. For me, I've always loved horror, you know, spooky stuff ever since I was little. I actually lived in a haunted house, but I personally never experienced anything at the house. It was my grandparents' house. My brother experienced, my aunts, my uncles, everyone, and I just never did. So, you know, me and Victor have known each other since I was 14, you know, for a long time, since high school. And after high school, we kind of, you know, went our separate ways. So then we started hanging out again, you know, after high school. And like he said, he was like, hey, do you want to go to this abandoned asylum? It's close by here. And I was like, sure. So we went, and that was the craziest experience I've ever.
That place never disappointed. Every time I'd go, you would hear disembodied voices. You would hear footsteps, people following you around. Like, it felt like the hospital was like still alive.
Yes.
So wait, this is the perfect place to take her to make her a believer.
Where was this?
It was in Downey, and now it's burned down now.
I've heard about that place. Sabinas. Yeah, I've not been there, but
it was beyond creepy.
Yeah.
It was the history of it is very, very sad. But yeah, that's where we went, and I could hear literally like what was following us. Something.
I think
was
there was like a little
us.
Kid attached to you at one point, like a spirit of a little kid.
Yeah.
Cause he kept trying to talk to Jasmine.
Like a motherly, like he probably thought I was his mother, but it was a really crazy experience. And even after that, the next week I told Victor, like, I'm like, I don't know why, but I'm obsessed. I need to go back to see this kid. Like, it was just from then on, you know.
Yeah, I feel like as soon as somebody has an experience, like it kind of becomes not an addiction in a bad way, but like you want it to happen again. It's like that adrenaline rush or that, like, you just
more answer.
Yeah. I want to back up a little bit. Victor, you said that your dad passed away and that got you curious and stuff. Were you having experiences as a child?
No, not really. I mean, the weird thing is, like, I never, like, I had family members who said they saw him or stuff like that, but I never dreamt him. I never saw him or anything like that. I would just hear, like, family ghost stories and stuff like that. But no, even till this day, like, there's times I want to talk to, like, a medium or something to see if I can possibly connect with him or something. But no, I just never took that next step to try to.
Okay. But it's what ignited your curiosity in, like, the afterlife and everything.
Yes, because I wondered, like, where did he go? Where did his spirit go? Like, where do we all go when we pass away? So just growing up, I got really, really intrigued with it. And then watching, like, scary movies and ghost movies and stuff like that made me even more intrigued. And then I went to a tour at the Linda Vista Hospital in Boyle Heights.
Yes.
And I captured my first ever EVP there.
Oh.
So ever since I captured it, I was like, I'm not just seeing it on TV. I'm, like, actually capturing it with my own digital recorder.
Is that woman screaming, right?
No, it was the tour lady asked, like, do you have any messages you'd like to give? And it was a full sentence. It said, I don't want to. And it blew my mind. Like, I didn't hear anybody else say that.
Right.
Or anything like that. So I was just so excited. Like how Jasmine said, like, when you capture something, you just want more and more and more of it.
Yeah, for sure. And then, Jasmine, tell me about the haunted house that you grew up in. And what did other people experience there?
So I grew up with my grandparents. And my aunt, my uncles, and I have a brother, they've all experienced anything. So my grandma's house is two levels. It has, you know, you go inside, it's the first level, and then you go downstairs, and my grandfather converted the whole downstairs, because it's kind of like a U-shape downstairs. It's so weird. He converted all that into bedrooms, and my brother, my aunts, my uncles would always hear people running up the stairs and running down, and you can hear, they're like, you know, you can hear people walking around, like, at nighttime or when my grandparents weren't there, and just things like that. And I remember one time my brother was on the phone and he was going from one bedroom to the next, and on the doorway he felt a hand grab his head in the back and slam it against the wall.
Ooh.
And he was on the phone with somebody and they heard it too. And he just stood there like shocked. And I don't think he told me until like a couple years later. And yeah, just things like that. I do remember having sleep paralysis ever since I was little, but I never put that with paranormal. Like, I never thought it was the same thing. So I never, you know, told anyone, oh, this is what I'm feeling or this is what I experienced. But I have, and I still do get sleep paralysis, but it's always happened since I was little.
Sleep paralysis is very scary to me. Like, that's scarier than seeing a ghost.
Yes, especially if you actually see something.
Right, because sometimes it happens at the same time. Your sleep paralysis and you're seeing something.
Yes, yes.
So is yours accompanied by seeing something?
I have, yes. I have seen figures, but mostly when I've had sleep paralysis, like, we did an investigation one time and the next day I got sleep paralysis and it was so scary. It was scary because I can hear the entity walking around my couch to the back of me and just talking into my ear, like, literally right in my ear.
Ew. Ew, I've had a whisper in my ear before, and it's crazy because it's almost like you can feel a breath.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, how do they even have a breath? But you feel it, like, you can feel the vibration and like the breath on your ear, like in your hair. And
warm. Yeah.
Yeah, you feel it. That's such a creepy thing. Okay, so you guys did your first investigation at that old hospital, and then how did it escalate into you guys are kind of like partners doing this and start a YouTube channel on it?
Well, Victor already had the channel.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Yeah,
he already had the channel. And after that night at the hospital, he just...
He just
kept inviting me, like, hey, I'm going to go here next. Hey, I'm going to go here. And yeah, that's how we just, you know, became partners.
Yeah.
Like, traveling and filming. And it was a lot of fun. It's been a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. I think it's a lot of fun, too. So tell me about some of the places you guys have been. I saw Hill House in Texas. Tell me about this place.
Man, we've been to so many places. And I think Hill House is the scariest place I've ever been to.
Really? Where in Texas is it?
Mineral Wells.
Mineral Wells. What's the nearest big city?
It's like a small city. It's about an hour from the Dallas airport.
Okay. So you'd fly into Dallas if you wanted to go there.
Yes. And then you drive an hour in the middle of nowhere.
Okay. And what's the history of the house?
So the history of the house, I mean, there's so many things attached to that house. There's extraterrestrials that people have seen. Psychic mediums have, before even stepping into the house, they've seen it and they're like, we're not going inside this house. There's what, three portals?
Yeah.
There's three confirmed portals by, you know, psychic mediums. And,
they don't even want to walk in.
No, there's a lot of psychic mediums who refuse to walk into that
place. And there's a lady in a white gown that they actually have on film. I don't know why they don't post some of this stuff like online to show to people, because they showed us a lot of stuff I guess they can't show to the public.
Mm-hmm.
But their evidence is so wild.
Whoa.
Like, a lot of people have captured this lady in a white gown, but the weird thing is that her fingers are like web.
Like, oh, that's alien-like, yeah. Too.
Yeah. So she's been in different pictures and videos, and you can see her fingers.
Yeah.
Like web fingers. She kind of has like a masculine, like, look.
And all these people have nothing to do with each other. It's just evidence from tourists. Because you can take a tour, and during the tour is when they show you, you know, all their evidence. So they showed us their pictures, their videos, and yeah, they have security cameras all outside, all inside. And they've captured that woman
floating
in their yard.
Around the house.
Wow.
Like when you walk in there, it just feels like something's hovering over you the entire time. It feels so dark and so just terrifying. Like I can't even explain it. Just the feeling in there is insane.
Give me a visual. What does this house look like? Is it old? Is it newer? Is it out in the middle of nowhere? Is it in town?
It's so the small town is called Mineral Wells. It's a very, very small, you know, town. It's a very old house. I don't remember how old it is. It might be 100 years old, or we'd have to look back to see how old it is, but it is very old. There's no AC. There's nothing.
Yeah.
And you know, Texas.
Right.
It's a two story. You know what? I'm trying to figure out what house it kind of looks like. It might be, it's just an old looking house, like really, really old. It has a lot of like rooms. I want to say like not Victorian, huh?
A little Victorian, kind of a little bit, no?
It might be a Victorian style house.
Okay.
But it's very old.
Yeah. And is it out in the like countryside or is it in town?
It's in the small town.
Okay.
It's in a small town. The town is very quiet, you know, at nighttime. It's not, you know, a city or anything like that. It's a very small town.
And what made you guys...
In there?
No. What made you guys decide to go to this location?
So, actually, I found the house on TikTok.
Oh.
I found it and I told Victor, I'm like, dude, check this out. Because on their TikTok, they do show a video of a woman fully,
this video is crazy,
fully getting dragged off the bed because she was being disrespectful and antagonizing.
Whoa.
And she got dragged off the bed.
It's on video too.
And she got scratched on her back, like deep.
That's crazy. Okay, so what did you guys experience there?
So this last time that we went.
Oh, you've been more than once?
Yes.
Okay.
Surprisingly, it's been like three times.
Three times. Yeah. We've been there three times. This last time we went was really crazy because you can fully hear, and all of us that were in the room, we heard this demon. It had to have been a demon. It was making the weirdest sounds, noises. And we all were looking at each other like, are you hearing this? Are you doing this? It was so crazy. And like we tell everyone, you guys have to go. You have to go there because this place is no joke. It is the most demonic, haunted, scary, everything house you will ever experience.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
You got your name called in there too.
Really?
Like you hear tongue clicking.
I actually slept there by myself.
I couldn't.
He didn't sleep there.
I slept there.
All by yourself?
Well, I had my friend. She's not a paranormal investigator, but just a friend that went with us.
Yeah.
She stayed with me, but I went. I slept there.
And Victor, you left?
I had to. I could not.
He's like,
handle
I can't
it.
Sleep here, so you got a room.
Oh no!
Get out of here. Like leaders, Jasmine.
But so during when I slept there, I told him, I said, let's leave the camera rolling.
Yeah.
Because I'm a heavy sleeper. You cannot wake me up. You have to physically move me, you know? So I'm like, and I fall asleep in like 5-10 minutes. So I'm like, let's leave the camera recording and see what happens. Sure enough, this entity was like attracted to me. Like you can hear him walking around the bed, walking around to where I'm at, where my head is.
You couldn't even add like some of the stuff what was captured on EVP.
He was perverted about me.
Yeah. Really?
But you can hear his breath. You can hear him walking to me. And like, as he walks to me, you can see that I like move and I feel his presence. And sure enough, after that, I got an attachment. I got a really bad attachment.
Oh, no. So
at her house, like a bunch of times because something followed her home and it was really bad.
Mm-hmm. What was happening?
I kept getting sleep paralysis and I kept seeing the entity just laughing at me. And during my sleep paralysis, during my nightmares, he was like making me unalive myself and he was laughing and pointing. And so that happened for like 2 weeks and
the door slamming
in my house. Cause I have a lot of haunted objects, but they're all, you know, either little kids or, you know, nothing malevolent. So mm-hmm. I know the spirits that I have, but this one was malevolent. He was slamming doors. He was stomping around my house, walking around like aggressively. I could feel him, just like malevolent things like that.
Yeah.
And it got so bad that I had to actually call my witch to come and get rid of him. So he did a whole, you know, ritual and yeah, he cleansed my house. He cleansed me. And literally the next day, he was gone. The entity was gone.
Wow. Okay, who's your witch?
My witch, actually, he's from Woodland Hills. His name is Caro, and his company is Fire and Lux.
Okay.
He's amazing. Awesome. He's amazing.
He's really, really cool.
Okay, well, that's really good to know.
Yes, I had an attachment with a puppet. And we also have an episode for that.
That was crazy.
That puppet was so obsessed with me. You have to watch the episode. I'll send you the link, but it's crazy.
Wow. Yeah. So do you, since you've gotten attachments before, do you do anything to protect yourself?
I personally don't, because I already do like protection for myself. You know, every week or every other week, I do it for myself. But as far as before an investigation, I don't, because I feel like I'm already protected.
Okay.
You know, by my ancestors and deities or whatnot. And Victor doesn't do anything.
Okay.
Just go with the flow and get attacked. And
well, if this, I'll just say this in case it helps you at all. For me, I don't have like a crystal or a cross or like anything special that I take with me, but I do have a certain mindset when I go into places. Like, I am here to communicate, to experience, to answer questions, to see what's happening. But the second I leave here, like, we're done. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
But it's closed from here on. Nothing can follow me. And so far, that has been very successful for me. Like, I do not think that I've ever brought anything home or had anything weird happen after I've left a location. But you have to be strong in that. You have to, you know, you have to, even before you go there, you have to like have that mindset that this is how it's going to be. I'm here for an experience and that's it. And when I leave, I'm leaving.
Yeah, I totally, totally agree with you.
So I'm just saying it in case it helps you, because I would not want those attachments. Okay, I also saw when I was researching you guys didn't mention this to me, that you filmed an episode of Ghost Adventures at the Glen Tavern Inn.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we did, yeah.
So tell me all about that.
So we went to Glen Tavern Inn a couple years ago with Joey, and we had a crazy experience. It was, I think the, like, one of the most, like, direct in-your-face, yeah, like, poltergeist activity.
This day, we haven't experienced anything like that.
Yeah, the curtain opened, fully opened, and I screamed.
Where were you guys, in the room?
in the room where have you ever been to the Glen Tavern?
Yes.
Okay, it was in the Lady of the Night.
207.
Okay.
Was it 207? Where she got decapitated and they found her head in the closet? That's 207.
Wait, I don't even think I know that story.
Yeah. Okay, so it's the, you know, it used to be a brothel, right?
Yes.
Okay, so the main woman of the night, her room, apparently one of her customers decapitated her, put her head in the closet, and her body was on the bed.
That's
really messed up. But anyways, that's the room we were mainly focusing on. And the curtain opened up. And I guess Ghost Adventures, you know, wanted to film at Glen Tavern Inn. And since we kind of were we the only ones that, like, filmed there for YouTube? Or maybe we were the...
I'm not sure. They just reached out to us and wanted us to be part of the episode. We're like, yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I think because we experienced like the craziest at the Glen Tavern Inn. They hit us up like if we wanted to be on their episode because they were filming there, and that's how we got on their
show. That's exciting. And what was that experience like? Was it fun filming or?
It was awesome.
It was fun. Yeah. It was really fun.
I grew up watching Ghost Adventures, so being able to like film with them and be right there with them, it was like,
yeah,
it was awesome.
Yeah.
Really cool experience.
Well, just so the listeners know, the Glen Tavern Inn is this beautiful hotel. It's really cute. It's like Tudor style. And I just think it's like super cute hotel. And it's in Santa Paula, California, which is a small little town. It's like, it's not Southern California, but it's not Northern. I guess it's still Southern-ish. Southern California.
Yeah, it's still kind of Southern California.
But it's more like Ventura County, not Los Angeles County. Yeah. I think it's Ventura. It may even be a different county, but I think it's Ventura. And anyway, it's very cute and it has a lot of history. One, because there was a major flood that happened there. What was it like in the early 1900s, I think?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think it was the Santa Fe Dam. Is that what it was called? And it broke and it was unexpected and it killed a lot of people. And then also just the history of the hotel. Like you said, it was a brothel. I think there used to be like illegal gambling and like speakeasy type stuff going on there as well. And so it's just had a lot of history. And then I think in more recent years, I don't want to speak wrongly about this, but I feel like there's even been like maybe some overdoses or things like that have happened in the hotel, that if I remember right, that I've been told about. So there's been some tragedy associated with the hotel. It's also, and I don't think I ever even really heard what happened, but it's also where the Osbournes filmed, and she had that crazy experience and had to be taken away in an ambulance.
Yes.
But I didn't really hear like what happened to cause that, but like I just remember there being like a big thing about that happening.
She
there
fainted, didn't she?
Yeah, I think she did.
I think she fainted. I didn't really read too much about it. Did you?
No, I think the owner was telling us about it the day we filmed with Ghost Adventures.
Mm-hmm.
But she didn't really give us the full detail on it, but I think something that she had like fainted or something like that.
So I went there this weekend that Ghost Hunters were all there, that, you know, from this TV show, not the original, but the newer cast was there all doing stuff. And they were doing like kind of like a meet and greet and talk type thing. And I went there to record my podcast with all of the people from the show. And which was great because I got like 5 or 6 episodes all in like one weekend. So it was awesome. But I also got to like do investigations with them and like hang out and also meet a lot of the people that were there. And nothing like major happened while I was there. I was also kind of busy, but I do have a couple of small things. So one of my producers and I, at that time, we were finishing up in a room and we went to leave and she went to lock the door. And this is an old hotel, you guys. So it doesn't have those doors where they close on their own, like they're old doors. So they just stay wherever you put them, and you have to actually grab the handle and close the door. It's not like the self-closing heavy doors. And she's standing there and the door is about this wide open and she's making sure she has her key and stuff and everything. And I'm already in the hall and I'm talking to her and I watch as the door slams onto her foot. I mean, she had her foot still in the doorway a little bit, you know, so it like hit it. And I was like, that door just slam? And she's like, it did. So it was like little things like that where you're like, wait, how did that just happen? And then I forgot my jacket there. And so the next week I called, they found it. And I said, I'm going to come back and get it. And I brought my friend Holly with me because she's never been there and she wanted to see it. And I was like, oh, you should totally see it. It's totally cute and everything. And we literally just went back to go get my jacket. And I asked the guy at the desk, hey, do you care if I just show her around a little bit? And he's like, no, go ahead. We're in the process. It's in between people right now. We're cleaning all the rooms and everything. But you know, you can go ahead. So we go upstairs and we're walking past this room and it sounds like this eerie old music and somebody singing in one of the rooms. And it was probably just somebody singing in one of the rooms, but it was this like really eerie old fashioned music. And it just sounded so creepy because it was like, there was nobody, there was like the housekeepers were in one of the rooms cleaning, but it was like so quiet and like so dead, no pun intended, around there. And then all of a sudden you just hear this eerie music coming from inside one of the rooms. And we were like, this is weird.
Did you stay a little while to see if anybody was walking around in there or came out?
Yeah, we stuck around for a little bit and we continued going down the hall. I think it was the second floor that we were on and we continued going down the hall. Nobody came in or out of that room. And by the time we came back down, it's just stopped on its own.
Oh, wow.
That's creepy.
It is creepy. But then I recently got a call or not a call, an email from Glen Tavern that they want to do like murder mystery nights, like parties or events there and some other fun things like that. And so they were talking to me to see if I wanted to collaborate on something like that. But I feel like that'd be so amazing.
That's awesome.
That'd be cool.
So fun. And I'm so excited for them to like do those kinds of things because I feel like they're the perfect location for that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's awesome there.
Like, it's such a cute, unique hotel that I even thought about, like, oh, what if I got married here? Like, it would be really pretty, like, to have a wedding there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was really, really cool.
And the restaurant downstairs is actually really
cool. Oh, yeah.
And, okay, I know, totally off topic. That restaurant, I went there. Okay, it's Italian food. And one of my favorite dishes is chicken piccata. And they have a really good chicken piccata there. Like, I want to go back just for that. Okay. Before we are done, I need to talk about this documentary you guys did. It's called The Dead Follows. It's on Amazon Prime, and I need more information. Like, where is this? Where did you guys go? Or are you not allowed to say?
Oh, yeah, we can.
Oh, where is this location?
This place is up in Azusa, California, the mountains.
Okay.
And it's kind of like in the middle of nowhere. And this place, I think, was in the 1950s. I can't remember. It's pretty old. But it's went through like a lot over the years. And we had someone told us about this place, or you said one of your friends told you.
Yeah.
Right?
So one of my friends, she had told me, hey, have you heard about this abandoned camp? And I'm like, abandoned camp? Like, no, like we kind of know a lot of things in LA.
Yeah.
And she told me about it. And we went, and this place is no joke. Like, it is no joke. First of all, in order to get there, you have to cross the river.
I saw that.
Crazy.
Yeah.
You have to cross the river, and it's just so crazy. And so what happened was we had already filmed there, two times?
Yeah, we had filmed there for our YouTube channel, and then we're like, dude, we should make this into a documentary.
Yeah, so before that, I took my brother to go and check it out, right? But he didn't want to cross the river. So he kind of stayed on the other side.
Yeah.
And just from that, he got an attachment. He got a full-on attachment, and that is the basis of the documentary. Us being at Camp Follows, what we captured there, and this entity, demon, whatever, you know, you want to call it, following my brother home, tormenting and causing like this just malevolent, evil
with the presence kids too, his kids.
In his house.
What? How did he know what was happening?
So, poltergeist activity was happening.
Okay.
Dishes would get thrown. Toys would get thrown. Toys would turn on. Their stove would turn on with no flame. Twice, my brother has walked in the house and just a gust of
gas. Yeah. Scary.
Yes. And we actually smelled the gas too.
Yeah, we did.
During our filming. And it was very, very scary. Not only that, but my nephews have seen this entity.
Yeah. Yikes. So, do you guys know the history of this camp? Like, was it a children's camp? Was it a...
Yeah. It was a children's camp, right?
Yeah, it was a children's camp. And then throughout the years, it would change, like, management. So it would become, like, different things. And okay. I think in 2015, there was, like, a flood. So they had to literally helicopter people out of there. So people died there. And one of the managers died there, too. One of the owners. And we went to film there with a medium. And a lot of people told us that things got conjured up there.
Mm-hmm.
So people would go there and do, like, ritualistic, satanic rituals and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Well, from your video, I see that it's, like, very abandoned. Like, and the buildings that are left there are more like shells of a building. There's a lot of graffiti, and you could see beer bottles and things like that. So it looks like a spot where people go and, like, hang out and, like, do graffiti and drink. And who knows what else is going on there. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
And then.
Yeah, because it's not an easy place to access.
Yeah. So
when we filmed there, you know, I didn't think a lot of people, we didn't see anybody or nothing at all.
No. It seemed very isolated. And then you guys are there and like, you can hear it on the, like I could hear it at home, like the, like footsteps in the late leaves and stuff. And like.
Yes.
That whistle. The whistle. It was right next to you. There was a whistle.
What about when I was up in the attic and something gets thrown and I like, and I drop my
my whole camera? Yeah. I know. It's like all these things were happening. And it's like, oh my God, so active. And it's right there next to you. You can tell by the sounds.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't scream for help or if anything's happening because no one can hear us.
And there's no reception.
No reception.
At all.
That's scary.
Yeah.
I don't think even satellite.
So I didn't watch the end, so you can't tell me how it ended, but tell everyone.
You want to go.
I do.
We'll take you.
I do. I got to get my rubber boots.
You know what? I actually bought us some water rubber boots, like the big ones. But I think I got him.
She got me like little feet,
small ones.
So I was like tippy toeing in there with the rubber boots, like into the river. It was crazy. It was funny.
Oh my gosh! So tell people like kind of what sort of evidence you guys captured while you were there.
We got a lot of disembodied voices. Things getting thrown. At one point, it was a hot night too. I think we had filmed during summer and it wasn't windy at all. And out of nowhere, we're like inside the main camp area and this gust of wind just flies in and you could even see like the wood moving and everything. We couldn't explain that.
I saw it.
Heavy door.
Or the door
slammed.
Closing too by itself.
Yes.
There was just a lot of weird things that were happening. That we couldn't explain.
Yeah.
And I think at one point we heard music too.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Old-timey
music.
And did all of this stuff happen in one night that you guys were there? Or was this multiple recordings?
Well, we filmed there previous times for our YouTube channel.
Yeah.
So we experienced stuff before that. But for that night, we did it all in one night.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, and that's so exciting that it's on Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
That's the opportunity.
Thank you.
We actually have a couple more documentaries coming.
That's exciting. That is so exciting. Okay, so tell me about, there's a couple other spots that I saw. I know we're at time, but I just have a couple other little things that I wanted to ask you about. You guys were recently at the Tudor House and the Brackenfern Manor, and I recorded my podcast with SoCal Spirit Seekers while they were there, and they had the stage behind them when they were doing it. And as soon as we started recording, the curtains opened behind them, and it happened multiple times. Like, not fully open, but it almost looked like somebody went like this and like was going to walk through. Yeah. And it kept happening throughout their interview. I was like, oh my God, that has to be like a window or a door or something open. And they were like, there is not. There's not a window or door open. But tell me what you guys experienced there.
We didn't really investigate the Tudor House on the main level. We investigated like the basement. But we did fully investigate the Brackenfern Manor, and that place is so crazy. If you know the history about it, it also used to be a brothel.
Mm-hmm.
It was back in the mafia days, you know, when Prohibition was around. The Tudor House used to be like the gambling area for the elites of Hollywood. The Brackenfern was the brothel, and there's another building that used to be, what was it?
Was it the, damn, I forgot the name, what was it?
It was something, but there was three, you know, buildings, uh-huh. And there was a tunnel from the Brackenfern to the Tudor House where they used to, you know, come and go, and so yeah. Nobody will see them at the top, but, oh, is that a kitty?
Yes.
So, yeah, we got a lot of spooky, crazy evidence at the Brackenfern. It was a really cool
awesome.
Experience.
That's another place I need to go. I pulled up into the parking lot one time. I didn't have an appointment. I didn't know anybody and anything, but I just knew that it was haunted. And I just pulled up and was like checking it out. And there was a guy standing in the parking lot who worked there. And he was like telling us some stories, but I didn't ask to go in or anything like that. But it's also
really beautiful.
That's what I was going to say. It's also a really cool property, and it's very similar look and style to the Glen Tavern Inn.
Yes. Yes, definitely. I think it may have been around the same era
as probably.
I don't know. We'd have to review the history.
Yeah. Okay, one other place.
Definitely go.
One other place that you guys went, and I haven't been yet, but it's always been on my radar, is the Padre Hotel in Bakersfield.
Oh, that place is really crazy too.
Very good.
Tell me what happened. Did you see the handprint?
Yeah, yes. An employee actually showed it to us, and we were able to interview her.
Okay, tell me everything.
We kept hearing, someone kept knocking at the door.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd go check, nobody was there.
Ooh.
We had bought a bunch of little kids' toys, because it said that a lot of little kids are there, because it was like a fire, I think, or something like that. And the toy kept turning on. One of the toys kept turning on by themselves, and we kept getting
the man.
Oh, the man too. Yeah, right? Yeah. That actually came up on the goggles.
Mm-hmm.
It was a figure of a man with a hat.
Okay.
Yeah. So the fire, I think, was on a weird level of the hotel. I don't think it was the rooftop level. I think it was kind of in the middle.
It was like in the middle.
I don't
yeah.
remember, because we filmed there, you know, quite a while ago, but. A lot of people died, right?
Yeah.
A lot of people died.
I think an earthquake too happened there.
Yeah.
And killed people.
Oh, and didn't people take pictures of the fire? And there was like a demon in the
yeah.
smoke?
What? No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
An employee told us about that, right?
Yeah, an employee told us about that too. during the fire, there was a demon in the smoke. Like, you can clearly see it's a demon.
Whoa. That is crazy. And then the handprint is the handprint of a child, right?
Yeah. A child, because the hand, because I have really like small little kid hands, and it's like the size of my hand. And sure enough, they try to scrub it, and they nothing. Try to clean it, and nothing. It does not come off.
There was actually another one up top too, right?
Yeah, there's
kind of like
two.
Unreachable. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Two. I think the she one up us another there, one. The one up there might be like a smear, but you can see the fingers.
That's so crazy. Well, that is so interesting. And I'm so excited for you guys to have more documentaries coming out.
Thank you.
Let's see here. I'm going to skip the roundup questions this time because we're already over, and I'll just close it out. So thank you so much for coming on and sharing your stories with me. Tell everyone listening how they can watch your YouTube channel, follow you on social media, watch your documentary, all that good stuff.
Well, our channel is Barrier Beyond Official Instagram, and our YouTube is Barrier Beyond, and that's where we post mostly everything we do, members too.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to watch our documentary, it's on Amazon Prime, The Dead Follows. And yeah.
Your Instagram?
Oh, my Instagram is Victor with two R's, period, and Weska.
Okay.
And my Instagram is Jazz, J-A-Z-Z dot Nicole, N-I-K-O-L-E. And that's basically the same for all my socials, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok.
Perfect.
And we plan on returning to Hill House. And if you would love to come with us,
ooh,
let us know. The invite is there.
Thank you. Yeah, let me know when you guys are going. We'll talk offline.
Okay, yeah. Sounds good.
I hope you guys enjoyed this episode of the Ghost Bunny Podcast. Thank you so much for joining me on my spooky adventures. And I look forward to sharing a new ghost story with you each week. Please subscribe to my podcast so you're always the first to know when a new episode is out. And follow me on social media at Ghost Bunny Podcast on Instagram and at Ghost Bunny Podcast on YouTube for the video version and at Bridget Marquardt on Instagram. Thanks, guys.
Good night.
Thank you.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.